This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Saturday, April 18, 2020. The Vigil Mass of the Second Sunday of Easter, or Divine Mercy Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Sing aloud to God our strength. Shout for joy to the God of Jacob. Words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Sing aloud to God our strength. This is a call to the solemn service of praise. It is found in Psalm number 81, 80 for those who use the Douay Rheims. Psalm 81 speaks of this call to solemn service, a psalm of praise to God. We think of when we gather here, every time we come together, it is to praise the Lord. It is to give thanks to Him. We do it in a certain way. We do it with all gravity. We do it with all solemnity. We should do it with all reverence. But it is interesting to think about the whole question of this call to service, this call to praise Him, and ask the question, why? Do we ever ask ourselves, why do we praise Him? Why are we reverent in Mass? Why should we do it in all solemnity? He answers the very question in the psalm as to why we do these things and how we do them. First, the whys. Why do we do it? Because, as it says in verse 4 of Psalm 81, because it is a statute, an ordinance of God. It is a command of His to worship Him. It is a command of His to praise Him. And He gives us throughout Scriptures directions as to how we do this, this call to service of praise to Him. It is nothing less than one of His laws. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when He ascends into heaven, He says, all power and authority has been given me, things in heaven and on earth. And He says, go baptize them, teaching them all that I have commanded you. This is part of that all. How and why to worship Him. Psalm tells us why. Not just because it's a law, an arbitrary rule of do this or don't do that. He gives us a reason even why it's a law. Because of who He is. Because of who He is. Because He is the infinite majesty on high who spoke and all things leapt into existence. He is the Creator. We are the creatures. We owe Him our very existence. We owe Him our very existence in taking an heir in this world, but we owe Him more particularly that He has called us to Himself. He has called us into union with His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. He has called us into the Roman Catholic Church, which is where God is found in all His fullness in this world. He's called us to Himself. This is why we should praise Him. Not just because He says so, because of who He is. And not only because of who He is, because that should be sufficient, that He is the Creator, that we're the creatures. That should be sufficient, but He doesn't leave it there. Not only is the Creator, but He also tells us that we should worship Him because of what He has done for us. I just spoke of His call to us, each individually, not collectively, but each individually into His Catholic Church. He has done that for us. He continues to pour out His graces upon us to make us able to worship Him, to give us a clear understanding as to how we should do it, with all reverence and awe, not to observe a show when we come into here, but each and every one of us as individuals engaging in that worship. It is not something we do as individuals. When we are outside of this place, we do it as individuals. We can praise God in many ways and should in many forms in our own individual prayer lives, in our own individual spirituality, in our own individual vocations to which God has called us. But there are times when we come together, particularly on the day in which we celebrate the resurrection, Sunday. Our Lord speaks of this collective worship. This is what he's talking about in the psalm. He's not talking about the way you praise him or worship him as an individual. He's talking about us collectively coming together and giving him worship, because this is what does him service. We see this in the psalm when he describes all these various and sundry instruments that we use to praise him. It would look kind of ridiculous if we were in here as individuals and grabbing the lyre and the harp and the timbrel. No, he's talking about collective worship, communal worship. The purest form of worship Almighty God is done in his body and as his body. This worship that he's talking about here cannot be done alone. We have to do it collectively. It is his law. It is a statute. Specifically says in that psalm that it is a statute for Israel. Well, I guess that doesn't apply to us, right? No, it applies to us even more than the ancient people of Israel, because we have to understand that, as St. Paul tells us in the letter to the Galatians, that the Catholic Church is the Israel of God, not an ethnic group of people, but a spiritual group of people. If it's a statute for Israel, it means even more so that it is a statute for us, the church. The church has ever looked with tremendous import on this coming together to worship our Lord, particularly, as I said, on the day in which we celebrate his resurrection, Sunday. Taking this into account, the call and the dictates of Almighty God that are found throughout Scripture, in this psalm, for instance, taking into account this call of our God to do this concerning our service to him, the church has said it is its first precept. The first precept of the church. You read it in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, 2042. The first precept of the church is and requires the faithful to participate in the Eucharistic celebration when the Christian community gathers together on the day commemorating the resurrection of the Lord. This is the first precept of the Catholic Church, our coming together to worship him. We should glory, and the events of our present day drive home the pain if we cannot do what our Lord desires of us. It is nothing less than the first precept of the Catholic Church. The Roman Catechism speaks of this service of praise that we offer to God in context of the second commandment of honoring our Lord's name. Second commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. We should not take it in vain. The other side of that coin is the positive duty to honor God's name. The Roman Catechism equates our worship with a way we honor God's name. The Catechism says, we honor and venerate the name of God when from a sense of religious duty we celebrate his praises, and under all circumstances, whether prosperous or adverse, return him unbounded thanks. The example of the admirable patience of Job, who when visited with the heaviest and most appalling calamities, never ceased with lofty and unconquered soul to give praise to God. When therefore we labor under affliction of mind or body, when oppressed by misery and misfortune, let us instantly direct all our thoughts, all our powers of our souls, to the praises of God, saying with Job, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord," after he lost every one of his seven children. Seven children. Everything he owned in this world. And he was a rich guy. He lost absolutely everything. And then his flesh was struck with a horrendous illness. And he said, "The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Our worship must be conducted under as it says in the catechism, no matter what's going on, to put it in a nutshell. No matter how horrible or grievous the situation in which we find ourselves, as individuals or as a church, nothing should hinder our praise of Almighty God. It is one of the ways we honor his name. It is one of the ways that we keep that second commandment of not taking his name in vain. It would be vanity if we said we love God and then when some trouble comes along, to stop worshiping him. These are the words of our catechism. These are the precepts of our holy church. This command of praise is found first and foremost in the holy sacrifice, the Mass. The holy sacrifice of the Mass is the pinnacle, the absolute top point of praise and thanksgiving. It is not a show. It is not something to be watched, whether in person or electronically. It is not something to be watched or observed. It is something to be lived. It is our intimacy with God. It doesn't get any more intimate, our relationship with God. You know, I love our Protestant friends. You have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Our answer as Catholic is, you don't know. You have no idea of the personal relationship I have with our Lord Jesus Christ. I receive him body, blood, soul, and divinity into myself every single time I go to Mass. It doesn't get any more personal than that. It doesn't get any more relational than that. The holy sacrifice of the Mass is our intimate relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, manifest. The Roman Catechism speaking of this idea of the holy sacrifice of the Mass being the pinnacle of praise and thanksgiving says, "The holy sacrifice of the Mass is not a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving only, or a mere commemoration of the sacrifice performed on the cross, but also truly a propitiatory sacrifice by which God is appeased and rendered propitious to us." God looks on us favorably because of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. He looks upon us favorably because of it. And there is no propitiation that is more efficacious than the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It is overwhelming to think that our attendance at Mass, our assistance at Mass, and that's what you do when you come to Mass. You assist at Mass. That term has kind of fallen into disuse over the past several decades. We don't come to Mass, we assist at Mass. That assistance is a profound participation in the Mass. You ought not come and just watch. Seriously, if you just come and watch, you should really stay home because it is to your detriment. Because the more you participate, the more you assist in Mass, the more efficacious it is for you. The graces that we receive in the holy sacrifice of the Mass are incumbent on how much we put into it. And I say often, I love when people look at me, I used to be Catholic, but I never got anything out of that. Well, of course you didn't, because you never put anything into it. Because if you did, and I can say that statement boldly, because if you did, you can't help but to get something out of it. You cannot help but to receive the graces of our Lord through His holy sacrifice. It is because of that holy sacrifice that He looks upon us favorably. Because of what His Son did in a bloody manner, we benefit from it in this unbloody thing that we call the holy sacrifice of the Mass. He looks upon us favorably. That is the divine mercy. It was Divine Mercy Sunday. I thought you'd think it was something to work. Our praise and worship of Almighty God and what we get from it is the divine mercy. Divine mercy is not a concept. It is not ethereal. It is not abstract. It is true and objective. And it is manifest in the holy sacrifice at the Mass. The holy sacrifice of the Roman Catholic Mass is the divine mercy. It's where we receive the divine mercy. This is the why. This is the why behind the command that we should sing aloud to God our strength, shout for joy to the God of Jacob. Shout for joy, cheerfully. If we know what it is, if we have any inkling, it can't help to be joyful. It cannot help to be cheerful. It is not do this because I said so. It's do this because I said so, because of who I am, because of what I've done for you, and because it is a manifestation in your very lives of my divine mercy. In Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost.